Jesus said to his first disciples, "Go ye therefore into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." Ever since our Lord Jesus gave that commission or that commandment to his followers, those who have come to Christ in faith have been baptized without exception all through the last 2,000 years of our Christian history. We're so thankful today that we have Lexi Oaks. A couple of Sundays ago, Lexi came forward at the invitation in the church and said, "I want to be saved. I want Jesus in my heart." She asked the Lord in faith to come into her life, and she is being baptized today. Lexi is 13 years old. She's a teenager. And I'm so happy that so many of her family members are here. Even her teacher who teaches Braille since the kindergarten. If you're with Lexi, would you all stand? I want to just recognize all of you family members who came with Lexi. Praise God for your support of this precious young lady. And we're so thankful that you all put this in your time slot to come and to worship with us and to see her baptized. Some are grandparents and all kinds of relatives back there. We're so thankful that you're here. May God richly bless you. You may be seated. Lexi, I've talked with you about your baptism and about your salvation. You feel this morning that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, and you love Him with all of your heart. You're trusting in Him. Yes. She had a little necklace on this morning, and it's a mustard seed necklace. And someone said, "Well, do you have as much faith as a mustard seed?" And she said, "I hope so. I'm trying." And I think that's true of all of us. Lexi, because you have asked the Lord to come into your heart and to be your Savior, and you have told this to the congregation here, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like as you've died with Christ in baptism, so you've been raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Special and precious young lady. And this is really a new beginning for her today. And she'll need the support of her family, her friends, her church, and all the churches as she grows in Christ in the years to come. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Lexi, for her folks that are here and those that are not. And dear Lord, we pray that you'll help her in the days to come, that she would grow in grace and in knowledge, in faith. We pray, our Father, that she would trust in you all the days of her life. And even though she cannot see very well, I pray that through her lack of sight, she may lead many others to come to the light and be able to see through the eye of faith. Thank you for the love that everyone has shown to her. But especially, Lord, thank you for loving her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the weekend before Veterans Day, and so we always like to have a special observance on Veterans Day. And so I want us to pledge allegiance to the flag. Invite you all to do that with me. Attention, salute. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I wonder if we have any veterans here today. Have y'all recognized them? Y'all just be seated here. If you're a veteran, we want to recognize you today.
Over on this side, any veterans of the military service? Chestine, would you stand, please, and just remain standing there? What branch of the service were you in? In the Navy. All right. Anyone else over here as a veteran? All right. What about over here? Any veterans here? John Dooley and David and grandmother there? Yes. John, what branch of the service? In the Navy. David?
Army.
In the Army?
Army.
And Army. Very good. Y'all remain standing. Back in the back yonder. Any veterans that we have here? Yeah, okay, good. Chet, what branch of the service?
Marine.
The Marines. Okay.
Marine.
And Marine Corps. All right, y'all just remain standing. Anyone up here is a veteran? Okay, what branch of the service?
Army.
In the Army. All right, anyone else now that you're a veteran? Well, we want to honor you. Shall we do that? While you stand, I want to have a prayer for all of you veterans. Lord, I thank you so much for these men and women and for the service that they gave to our beloved country. Our Father, we pray for all the veterans around the world today. I pray that you will help them and help all of us, that we might live true and honest, that we might live courageously and bold, that we might, those who have fought and served, that we might have freedom in our land. May we work for that every day. I pray your blessings upon all of these. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. You may be seated. Go ahead. Thank you, Madonna, for playing that beautiful song for us today. We have a bunch of children here this morning, don't we? And I'm thankful for Raisa and the others who go and work with the children for these few moments while we're having. We say we have children's church and then big church. So y'all are in big church today and the children over there with the children. Brother Mike said that Lexi's daddy's here. Is that you back yonder with that red shirt on with Arkansas? I'm glad you're here this morning. He said, that's her daddy back yonder. And I'm so glad that you're here. By the way, mentioning Arkansas, didn't you see a miracle yesterday? I have never been so excited. Miss Anna just about chewed all of her fingernails off. and everybody else too. But boy, that was thrilling. Everybody would be proud to be an Arkansan Razorback today. Even if you're not one, you're proud of that probably. But certainly that was a wonderful ball game. Makes everybody feel wonderful. I want to look at two different scriptures this morning. The first one's in Exodus chapter 1, and the second will be in Hebrews chapter 11. This is a story that most of you are familiar with. It's about Moses, and about Moses as a little baby being hidden in the bulrushes in a little boat and a little ark. But I'm going to read some of this because it may be that it's a long time since you heard the story from the Bible. Last year there was a motion picture, a major motion picture. What was that title? Gods and Kings. And it was quite an ambitious project, to say the least. I saw it and I thought, boy, that's a wild thing. It's kind of like the motion picture of Noah that came out a couple of years ago. I like a lot of excitement, and there was a lot of excitement in there, but a lot of that was not very true to the Bible account. And so let me read some of the scriptures from Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt. By the way, the stuff that happened here is where the plane crashed last week or week before last, and 200 and something people were killed on the Sinai Peninsula. So this is the part of the world that we're reading about here, about Moses. That's where all that took place, in Egypt. And they're still trying to figure out if that plane blew up from some device or whether it broke apart. But whatever it was, a lot of people died. And we're so sad, and they're on our prayer list. We've been praying for those victims' families. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who didn't know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we are. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when war occurs, they join unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built Pharaoh treasure cities of Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage, mortar and bricks, and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiprah and the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it's a boy, kill him. If it's a little girl, let her live. Notice verse 17 there. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but rather they saved the male children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you all done this thing? You've saved all those boys. And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, they lied, I guess, or maybe they didn't, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered before the midwives ever get to them. They deliver so fast. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. Notice that verse. God dealt well with those midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he gave them families because they feared him. Boy, they just had children everywhere. I'm telling you, big families because God blessed them. And Pharaoh charged all his people saying, every son that is born, you'll throw in the river. And every little girl, let her live. So there went a man to the house of Levi and took him a wife, the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son. Uh-oh. And when she saw him that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. And when she couldn't any longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch and made the child and put the child in it, and she laid it in the bushes, the flags, by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to see what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to get it. And when she had opened it up, she saw that little baby, and the baby was crying. So what? They all cry, don't they? That little baby was a crying. Natural. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of those Hebrew children. His sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to you a nurse from those Hebrew women that she can nurse this baby for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. Good idea. And the maid went and called who? The child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I'll give you wages. I'll pay you. And the woman took the child and nursed him. And that little baby grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water, she named him Moses. Quite a thrilling story, isn't it? You can just get pictures in your mind from when you were a child, hearing in Sunday school, and your mother, father, or grandparents reading you that story over and over and over again, little baby Moses. Those midwives, I noticed this morning I was reading about midwives in America. It said there are about 15,000 registered midwives in the United States. And probably a lot more than that, but at least on one organization, I looked this up on the internet, midwife, and you can go home and read all that yourself. But that's a very, very popular and a big, a very successful movement in this world. Now, in America, it's always been in other parts of the world to have a midwife, someone to take care of the mother and that baby and take care of it after that, a very important role for the midwife. All right, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, that second passage. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Now, this is a lot later that the book of Hebrews is being written. And so the one who wrote Hebrews, it may have been Paul, it may not have been, but whoever wrote Hebrews was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit was reminding him about that thing that we read in Exodus chapter 1. In verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because he was a beautiful child. Now, most children are beautiful, aren't they? If you're a parent, that little baby was beautiful, you thought. But sometimes they're not very beautiful, all right. And sometimes when they cry all night long, they get less beautiful. They looked at the baby and said, a beautiful child, man. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, notice that. They were not afraid of what the government said. They were not afraid of what the king had commanded. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, it wasn't that he disrespected her, I'm sure. He must have loved her. She took care of him. She saw that he had a great education. He was probably one of the best educated boys around. He was known as her daughter. It says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, that is those Hebrews down in Egypt, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a little while, a season. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. There, notice that word. He was not afraid of the wrath of the king. This was the government speaking, and he was not afraid to go against the government. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's God. Through faith, he kept the Passover. You remember that. And the sprinkling of blood, you remember that, on the doorpost, and the death angel passed over, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, attempting to do, were drowned. Here we are, Veterans Day weekend. If I were to tell you about the veterans that I have admired through the years, and I could remember some of those stories, I would probably tell you stories of heroism, of bravery, of love for God and country. I would tell you about sacrifice. I would tell you about those who gave their last full measure of devotion, as Abraham Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address. And there are many around the world who certainly gave their lives, their last full measure of devotion. And most of these, and even you veterans who were here, as you think about your service, you all could probably tell me all kinds of stories about your service. When the little boy says, "Daddy, what did you do in the war?" You know the jokes about that. But I would imagine that you would tell stories about being an honorable person, serving your country, and we commend you for that. And when I think about courage and bravery, someone said in that new motion picture about Moses that it showed him as so militaristic, as such a military man, almost like one of the ISIS warriors of over yonder today. Someone made that statement to me. That's the way the movie sort of portrayed him. I don't know much about all of what Moses was. He must have been a warrior, and he must have been some kind of a guy. And he was very brave. He had courage. And I want to talk about courageous faith. You see, those midwives feared God. Yes, I know whatever their Supreme Court said, they were supposed to abide by it. Whatever the president of Egypt, the Pharaoh, said they were to do, they were supposed to abide by it. There were laws, and they were supposed to obey the laws. You kind of see where I'm coming from in my little mind here? Can you sort of see where I'm going with all of this? Those midwives had the order from the Pharaoh to actually kill all those little baby boys, and they decided not to do it. They stood up They were brave. They refused to obey. And as a result of that, God blessed them. The parents of Moses were not afraid. Well, there was a little bit of fear. They wanted him to live, and so they built a little box and put him in it down in the Nile there. But they were really not so afraid of the king's commandment that they would obey the king. Pharaoh's daughter, she must have been quite a faithful woman too. She took that little boy, and she knew what the Pharaoh had said, but she took him and raised him and defied the law and made him her son. A lot of things in America here in 2015 on this Veterans Day week remind us of being down in Egypt and the orders, the edicts, the laws, the Supreme Court rulings, all kinds of things, doesn't it? And I guess the one thing we hear so much now from all of us is we Christians need to stand up for God and for His Word no matter the cost. Now you know where we're coming from, don't you? We need to stand up and be counted. And there are so many things. There was a clerk down in Kentucky. Wasn't her name Kim Davis? And she's still in the news. I mean, she's been saying, I'm not going to put my name on that marriage license that says that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. I refuse to do it. They're not refusing in Howard County, by the way, in the courthouse. There's already been some weddings, same-sex weddings, there in Nashville. And you probably know of two or three that I'm talking about. So the folks down in Nashville didn't take that stand and say, we're not going to put our name on this marriage license. But at least there was a lady down yonder who said, I'm going to stand up and refuse to do it. Because I don't believe it's right, and I don't believe this is God's will, and I am not going to do something that God will judge me for. And so as a result, and that's just one illustration, and you could debate that all day and night and about whether she's doing the right thing or not. But we're talking about courageous faith, aren't we? And standing up for what you believe in your school, in your church. We're even having to stand up for what we believe in the church. Imagine that. It ought to be understood that we as Christians know the same things about what the Bible teaches about all of these issues confronting us. All the debates, the Republican debates and the Democratic debates and all of that sort of thing. You know about abortion and you know about 50 million little babies aborted over the past years, and you realize what a terrible thing that you think that is, and it's an awful sin, and we not to be legalized, we should not have ever legalized it in America. Well, a lot of people are standing against that particular law. I know here in our church we stand against it. If you're a part of this body, you'd be known everywhere as standing against abortion, believing that it's not right, that it's not in the will of God, that we ought not to be a part of it. But some people are not standing very strong. All these matters of changing the whole definition of the family. Well, I noticed this week where the Mormons, you read that in the newspaper, didn't you? Now, boy, they've taken a strong stand. I never heard of all of that. Everybody thought they were going to take a real liberal approach to it, and somehow began to say, well, maybe it's all right. Well, maybe we need to look the other way. Well, maybe we need... But the leadership of their church, they came out in this week, and you go back and look it up in your papers and so forth, They took that strong stand and they said, this is not right and we will not approve of this. And boy, they're being criticized. They're being judged for that. I don't know whether you all are judging them. Maybe some of you believe it's all right. I suppose in a group like this, some of you think it is. But I want you to know that most of us as Baptist Christians do not believe in same-sex marriage. We do not believe in abortion. We do not believe in the slave trade for sexual purposes as is being promoted in much of the world. We do not believe in racism as Christians and as Baptist Christians. We are against racism in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Except in Derrick's, maybe. Or maybe in First Baptist Church, there may be a few racists or something else there. I'm smart enough to know there are. In any congregation, anywhere, you've got all shapes and sizes of people who believe all kinds of things, and they may hide it, but down deep in their heart, they are pretty much opposed to other races. And we all believe, surely we do, that that's wrong. Courageous faith confronts hostility, and we're living in an age, a day, when we need to stand strong. I was so glad back in June when we had the Southern Baptist Convention that met. And regardless of what all the Christian world said about same-sex marriage and all that kind of thing, our convention, led by Dr. Ronnie Floyd, who is the president of our Southern Baptist Convention, we, along with him, took a strong stand and said to the world, we know that the world is going this way, but we are not of the world. We're not going to approve this. We don't understand how we're going to deal with it. But it's simply not according to God's plan. And we all applauded and clapped our hands and we said, yes, yes. But you see, what I'm saying is that like the Moses and the midwives and Moses himself and his parents, there comes a day when even though the government says we're going to do something, if it's against God's word and God's will, we need to stand against it. Now I realize that we don't want to be lawbreakers. And I realize some of y'all, if it says 55 miles an hour between here and Nashville, you still go 70 and 75. So you break some laws, all right, and actually kind of laugh about it and think it's all right. I guess I do that sometimes too. But we're talking about some of these laws that are passed and some of these decisions that are being made in our land. As Christians, this is the day when we need to stand. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. I was in the nursing home doing my service Friday, and we sang that song, stand up for Jesus. And one little lady said, Brother David, we'd stand, but we can't stand up. I said, no, you can't. You're in the wheelchairs and all that kind of stuff over there. But I said, even though you're not literally standing up, in your heart you're standing up, and that's what it is. It's not literal standing to your feet, but stand up for Jesus. Courageous faith. Notice that it says that Moses suffered affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I was at our state Baptist convention in Hot Springs this past week. Heard some fine preaching. Most all the preachers preached along this same theme. Every one of them did, just about. And we were being called to recognize that when we preach the gospel, there always will be consequences and we may have to suffer. When you preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, people get all divided and hostile, and there are times we have to suffer affliction with the people of God. I was thinking about if we were preaching this sermon today in Africa, in South Sudan. My nephew is over in Afghanistan today. If they were preaching that to those people, if we were down in South America, in Mexico, some other country in the world, we Christians realize that we say we're being really persecuted here, but I'm one of those who feel, excuse me, we ain't seen nothing yet. If you think we're persecuted because somebody says something about it, they don't like us or something like that, and you know, live in a country where Christians are killed, are martyred, are slain, where they are, well, you know the stories from other parts of the world. I was glad to see that ISIS released, what, about 30 Christians from Syria. They released them. I thought, praise God. I'm sure mostly women, they said, they released them this week. I don't know what it would be like to live under that kind of oppression that people are facing these days. But this sermon is not just right in Derrick's, Arkansas. It would be right in whatever part of the world that we lived in. You know, we're Veterans Day and thinking about veterans and remembering World War II. And the last Sunday in October, I preached about Reformation Day and talked about Martin Luther and the strong stand that he took against the church of his day, and really what he did started what we call the Protestant Reformation. And I talked about the way that he took a stand, and many others as well, and we're a result of them taking a stand. But back in those days in Germany, when Hitler was going wild and he became the hottest thing on the planet, he thought he was, and other people thought he was, and he got folks together and drummed up a lot of support, and finally had all these visions about doing away with all of the Jews. And as a result, some 6 million Jews lost their lives. But my point was that in Germany, there was the strong Lutheran church. I have nothing. I admire the Lutheran church, even of today, some branches of it. But there were those in that day who gave in. And whatever the government said to do, they did. And if we're not real careful, we can get just like those who, whatever the government says for us to do, we're going to do it because we're afraid for our life, we're afraid for our families' lives, we're afraid for our communities. As school leaders, we're afraid for our schools. We're just afraid, pure and simple. His mother used to say, you're a scaredy cat. That was a nice way of saying that. But that's what we are. And we need to be brave and bold enough to stand for truth, even though it may mean consequences that are severe. One of the leaders of our Baptist convention in Arkansas said Monday and Tuesday, he said, preachers, you're going back to your churches. And I hope that you will preach the gospel and what the Bible teaches, what God's Word says. And right now, churches are tax exempt. And he says the day may come when to preach the truth, we will lose our tax-exempt status. He said, as he stood in that pulpit there at First Baptist Church of Hot Springs, or Baptist Church, he said, I hope and pray that every congregation will preach the truth even if they take away our tax-exempt status, because the truth has to be preached and we don't really need that tax-exempt status anyway. And he says, I hope they will not intimidate us. That's what the government tries to do. We'll take away your privileges unless you do what we say. And Christians around the world, last 2,000 years, some of them have caved in and given in, but there's always been some who refuse to stand and refuse to give in. I hope that as this congregation in Derrick's, I would hope that the day would come when we would want the pulpit to be free and the Sunday school teachers to be free to say what God's Word says. And if the government says, okay, start paying them taxes, we just get out the book and start paying them. Not intimidated. But you know, we think some noble thoughts sometimes, don't we? Even in your home, I mean, if it gets down to your pocketbook, you'll give in to almost anything. Almost anything. If it saves you money, no matter what it may be. Sometimes our convictions are pretty shallow. I hope they get stronger. And thirdly, courageous faith continues in spite of the circumstances. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, He has not given to us the spirit of fear. God hath not given unto us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So if you're afraid, if I'm afraid, that's not of God. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but rather power, of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus. In that next chapter, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul wrote, You therefore, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I don't know how Will, my grandson, made it last night. We heard from his daddy out in Colorado that at Wichita, he and 8 or 9 boys went camping last night. I don't know whether he's ever done that or not, somewhere up around Arkadelphia. And we said, well, I hope he had something warm to sleep in last night. He got pretty cold and pretty damp. Oh, that's nothing. Some of y'all do that all the time, you deer hunters. And certainly you veterans know about all of that and how serious it is. Endure hardness. I was glad to hear Will was doing that. I want him to endure. I want him to learn what hardness is. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man strive for masteries, he is not crowned unless he strives lawfully. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ came into this world and that he was brave, he was courageous? Moses in the Old Testament is a type of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. We could compare those two lives. When God the Father said to Jesus, his son, go down to that sin-cursed planet called Earth. All those people are sinners. And I love them so much, I want them to be saved. And he told Jesus, go down there. And Jesus obeyed the Father, knowing the cost, no doubt, knew exactly what it was going to take, came all the way from heaven, pearly white city, came all the way down to Bethlehem. While we are going to celebrate his birth in just a few days at Christmas. And he came and born in a manger in a stable. And from the very moment of his birth, they were trying to kill him. killing all the little ones at an edict of Herod to put all those babies to death. Aren't we glad Jesus grew up to be a brave man? And when he knew the cross was there, he didn't run away from the cross. He ran to the cross. That's why Lexi could be saved today. Had Jesus not done that, she'd be lost forever. If Jesus had not gone to the cross and died for our sins, we would be lost forever. But because of what he did, we can be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any of you could boast. Let us pray. Our Father, we have looked at Moses today and been real inspired at what a brave, brave person he was, and the midwives and his parents. I pray, Father, that you will help all of us to be strong and brave and courageous and true, and not give in to things around us that are wrong. Now, Father, in this invitation time, I thank you that Lexi came the other day and made her profession of faith. And dear Lord, there may be others here this morning who need to do that same thing. And I pray that whenever the invitation is given, they will come, take their stand, and receive you as Savior and Lord. Help us all to do your will, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.